This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Friends, pals, frenemies, BFFs, friends with benefits, you know, whatever you call it, when a friendship goes sour, breaking up is hard to do.
I think we should spend some time apart. Okay. So if I actually do wind up having a wedding, it's probably best that you not be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds good to me, Pete.
Also, I think you have my season 2 Lost DVDs. If you haven't watched them yet, it's
fine. Pete, they're right here.
It's just Zoe hasn't seen them all yet. And she's really curious as to what was going on inside that hatch.
Yep. I wish you the best of luck, Peter.
You too, Sydney.
Oh, the special pain of a bromance gone wrong.
It sounds like you know something about that.
Oh, no. That's way too personal. I break up regularly with my cat, who can be a real badass. But I do love that movie.
So, the movie is I Love You, Man. Very, very, very witty there, Anthony. It's got Paul Rudd and Jason Segel in it. But the thing is that we played that clip because it does illustrate, you know, the sort of super awkward, potentially painful, and really long-lasting impacts of calling it quits with a friend. You know, and in today's world, even with Facebook defriending, always a potential minefield, it seems that maintaining good, nurturing, and mutually supportive friendships are really more important than ever. So what do you do when you want out? Joining me today to help us sort through this is the Boston Globe's Love Letters columnist, because it is our Love Letters segment, Meredith Goldstein. Hey there, Meredith.
Hello.
So I have to ask you, usually we have you on for romantic relationship advice. This is a platonic one,
right?
But it was the an area of discussion on a recent web chat you had at Love
Letters. Yeah, I was doing sort of a live chat on Boston.com, and a woman wrote in about a falling out she had had with her best friend, a woman who she calls the Vault, meaning this is a woman who keeps all of her secrets, knows every little detail of her personal life. And, you know, she basically emailed this woman and said, I feel as though you've been a selfish person, that you haven't been as good of a friend. And the woman, you know, of course, the friend responded not so positively and said, how dare you send me an email like this? And basically she said, am I about to lose my vault, my friend, my BFF?
For 20 years.
Yeah, 20-year friendship we're talking about. And to me, it was really interesting. Usually I get letters about, you know, breakups in romantic relationships, and sometimes keeping a long-term friend is even more difficult because you're not smitten with a person in the same way. You don't have, you know, a makeup evening of romance in a friendship. You tend to drop a lot on each other in terms of needing support without some of the fun that goes with, you know, having a boyfriend or girlfriend. So it can be very difficult to prolong these relationships, you know, when you can grow out of someone.
Well, what did you then, I mean, all those considerations in mind, what did you tell the chat person to do?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I didn't get a whole lot of time to talk to her. But what I do say to people who have these friend breakups or feel as though they're about to have a friend breakup is that when we talk about having a best friend, you know, my BFF, my soulmate of a platonic, you know, friend, this is sort of a weird middle school style concept that doesn't carry us into our 30s, 40s, and 50s very well, because we wind up with a complex life with all different kinds of friends. So I think the first thing I always say is stop thinking of your best friend as your best friend and more of your oldest friend or someone who's been around you for so long that they're family.
Uh-huh.
And once you reclassify that person as family, you're a little bit more able to forgive. You can compare them to people who have had, you know, ebbing and flowing relationships to you in your life. And, you know, you're a little bit less disappointed because sometimes you have a cool aunt who turns into your crazy aunt who turns back into cool depending on, you know, what's going on in her life.
And okay, so this is really interesting because it sounds like what you're saying is the friendship doesn't really ever end. It just evolves.
It totally evolves. And you know, I know that for a lot of women, especially when they have children, you know, their best friends who do not have children, they don't even have time to see them very often. So what might have been a pal who they went out with four times a week, they might see once a month. Doesn't mean they're less important. It just means that they're on different schedules.
Okay, so I think maybe some people out there might disagree. I'm not sure if I'm entirely on board with you, but
I'll ask
you about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Listeners, so we are talking about breaking up, or maybe not, or maybe just evolving,
evolving
with a friend.
Yes.
So how do you do it? Has it ever happened to you as someone wanted to call it quits if you had been a friend for 5, 10, 15, 35 years? And, you know, when you can friend and unfriend, defriend, I guess is the word, at the click of a mouse online, how has that transformed the importance of real-life friendships and how you handle them? And I really want to know, how do you know when a friendship has lost meaning? And why is calling it quits, if that's what you want to do, so hard to do? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK with your stories. We're also, of course, online at RadioBoston.org and at Facebook and on Twitter at Radio Boston. So, Meredith, I'm going to bring in someone else, as we usually do. Her name is Irene Levine. She's a professor of psychiatry at the New York University School of Medicine. She's also the creator of the Friendship Blog and author of Best Friends Forever, Surviving a Breakup with Your Best Friend. Irene Levine, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much. Hi, ladies.
It's wonderful to have you. So first, let me hear your response to what Meredith said, is that when she feels that friendships evolve and we need to be active participants in their evolution, and that maybe we, you know, shouldn't really end up breaking off any friendships or most friendships.
Well, I agree in the sense that it's very hard to let go of a friendship that's like a legacy friendship. It might be someone who knew your parents, lived on the same block, had the same friends, went to the same elementary school. Those are things that you don't want to give up too rapidly. However, there are some friendships which really turn out to be toxic. Mm. And those friendships perhaps need to end.
And how do you know when, as Meredith said before, like you can sort of very highly moderate the amount of physical interaction you have with a friend, the number of times you see them, how you talk to them. How do you know with that degree of control when things actually become toxic? I mean, is it easier to know in a romantic relationship, say if you're living with someone and the toxicity is in your life every day?
Well, if it's a close friendship, I think you'll realize the same thing in a friendship. You know, sometimes it's just a visceral feeling. You know, you feel uncomfortable around the person. Perhaps the person always disappoints you, lets you down. There's constant misunderstandings, bickering like there might be in a marriage. You don't look forward to seeing this person.
Yeah, I think that's huge. That anxiety that comes with seeing a best friend. And I think there are two sort of real types of breakups here. One is, you know, my friend doesn't seem to get where I am in life. And there's that other one where maybe you hit a certain age and level of maturity and say, oh, wait a minute, this person's been making me feel bad since mm-hmm. I was 16 years old or 30 years old. And do I need that?
Yeah. And I think also Meredith alluded to the types of friendships that are a little bit more situational. It might be two people working in the same office, which is really important now because women form a great deal of their friendships in the work environment
right.
because we're working. So, you know, it may be someone you worked with and you no longer have, you know, that much to talk about to the person, or someone who you were child rearing with or breastfeeding with. You know, sometimes friendships solidify because of the situational context. And when that's gone, you realize there's not that much to the friendship. You know, is that all there is?
So there are situational friendships. I presume that, you know, friendships sort of ebb and flow as we progress through, you know, major life stages as well. But so I guess, Irene Levine, what do you do, though, when you decided a friendship has become toxic and it's time to call it quits?
Well, I think you have to approach it very, very carefully and be very, very sure, because once you start down the road of deciding you want to end a friendship, there's really no going back. You know, I often tell people to kind of develop a script, to think through in writing to themselves what they might say to the individual. I think you also need to be very, very judicious about the timing. You may have been stewing over something for a long, long time, and then all of a sudden you pop it on your friend and she's not ready,
huh.
Or you catch her in a compromising moment, or when something bad is going on in her life. So also you need to think about the timing, and you need to do it in a gentle, kind way, because after all, this person was your friend. But there really are no rules of the road. There's something very odd about friendship. We don't even know exactly when a friendship begins and when it ends.
It's a great point.
It's an amorphous thing. So we need to kind of find our way in figuring out how to end these relationships, because it's not easy for anyone.
It is a great point, and in terms of just how suddenly you have someone who's close to you, and unlike a romantic relationship, you don't have a commitment conversation, you don't have a first date, and, you know, we talk about how to do this. You know, this woman in particular who wrote in to me said that she had approached this by email. And for her, that meant she could be thoughtful, that meant she could, you know, really think about what she was going to write, edit herself, and give her friend time to digest it. Of course, her friend said,
how
could you send this to me in writing? So, you know, it's the same with a breakup in a romantic relationship where there's no good, fantastic way to say, I don't like you anymore. But do you have any recommendations about email in general?
Well, I think people have different styles, too. If I would send an email to one friend, she might think it's ridiculous. And another friend, you know, email is such a part of her life, she would see it as the continuation of a conversation. So I think also you have to look at the different styles that people have. But I wouldn't put too much in an email. You know, I'd rather kind of rehearse it. And I think you might be better off refraining from saying a lot of things than saying them. If it's a basic incompatibility and you just feel like you can't be friends with the other person, are you going to really try to change them or tell them that? I was just looking at Google today, and the quote of the day was from John Steinbeck, and he said, "No one wants advice, only corroboration." I thought that was a great quote. I mean,
for what I do for a living, absolutely.
Can you tell a friend, you know, she talks too much and she just gets under your skin, you can't stand her anymore? There are certain things you can't say. So I think it's better to leave the door open, to perhaps see the person less, to kind of see them only in mixed company, or perhaps to take a sabbatical and not see them for a while.
You know, though, when I hear you describe it, it sounds so easy, but it's not easy in real life. And before we get down this road too far, we've got a ton of callers who actually want to share their stories. So Meredith and Irene, if I can let them in, that'd be great. We're talking about breaking up with friends and why it's so hard to do. We're at 800-423-8255. Call in with your stories. Chris is calling from Newton. You're on the air, Chris.
Hi, folks. Hey, I just thought I'd share a little story with you about friend of mine who we were working together. We forged a great friendship many years, but there's a difference in the two of us is I have a predisposition to being late, and he is extremely punctual. And one day I came to his house and he sent me away and said, "No more, I'm done with you. You know, the friendship, it's not worth it. It's not worth it." And I said, "No, you know what, I'm actually not done with you, and I think that this is a great friendship that can go many places through the years, and we've only just begun. I think you're being silly." And he said, "No, I think you should leave." So I said, "No," and I stayed.
You fought for it.
What happened? I love this story.
I said, "No." And then 4 years later, we're going out shopping, and he said, "Hey, I proposed to Elisa, and I want you to be in my wedding."
Wow.
So if I had walked away, I would have given up on a great friendship.
And now, did you show up on time for the wedding?
Yes.
I hope.
Well, actually, if you'd like to know, at the rehearsal dinner, he was looking around saying, "All right, my last name's Osborne." He's saying, Where's Osborne? And somebody said, "Turn around." And I was behind him. I was kind of hiding because I just wanted to give him the business.
Chris, thank you so much for your call and for that story. That's one example of when a friendship may be worth fighting for.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Beth, who's calling from Roslindale. You're on the air, Beth.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. What's your thought today?
Well, this has been really interesting because I ended a friendship some years ago now, and it was really hard choice. It was what we were talking about, that best friend. And I think girl relationships, female to female relationships are interesting, the vault and all of that. And at the same time, I don't think that we would ever tell someone to just drift away from a boyfriend that was emotionally abusive, that we would say, you know, just spend less time with someone who you were dating, that the relationship had become to a point of unhealthiness. And I think that, you know, I still love this friend. We haven't spoken since the friendship ended. I sent her an email because discussions weren't working. Part of the problem in our relationship was that she couldn't communicate directly with me. And so I felt like we had had a couple email exchanges that just were denying what I was trying to express of my hurt, of my feeling abused in the relationship.
So
and so it just got to the point... I'm sorry?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, and so did you end up just being more direct about it?
And actually because of the New York Times article, I heard on Facebook that she reposted it with a quote from the email that I sent her ending our friendship, which was, "This isn't a break, it's a breakup," is exactly what I had said in the email. Because I think sometimes you have to just really, truly end it so that you don't have an open door back, because then it just invites back in for myself as well, the patterns that are easy to fall into.
Beth, thank you so much for your call. Irene Levine, that actually raises a big question for me. I know we've sort of been talking about it regarding email and stuff, but technology is a major part of our lives these days. How do you handle the ends of friendships in a world where people stay connected, even online, if their official friendship, you know, their face-to-face friendship has ended? There, as Beth was saying, there could be repercussions in your larger social circles.
Yeah, but, you know, that really isn't a artifact of technology per se, because whenever you break up with an individual, there can be collateral damage. You know, you have mutual friends, perhaps your families are friends with each other. So I think that, you know, the same kinds of problems reflect in technology as they do in the real life world. Hmm. And that's why there's so much caution that's necessary. I love that concept of the vault because, you know, somebody knows your secrets. You know, perhaps you've talked to somebody about other people. You really need to be careful about ending a relationship because you've given somebody, you know, access to your vault.
Right. I mean, that can really backfire if the person isn't respectful of your privacy or, you know.
In a work situation,
oh my gosh,
it can be devastating. You know, I hear stories about people who are undermined with supervisors because somebody in the office got angry at them, you know, over a broken friendship.
Well, it sounds like in the end, the best advice is the oldest advice, which is treat people with respect.
Golden rule,
golden
something like
rule.
That. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I will point out that, and perhaps this is because I do advice, a lot of people lose each other when one person gets a spouse they don't like. A big cause of friend breakups.
So then you have to choose between your spouse and your friend.
Yep.
Oh, that's a tough one maybe for a future Love Letters, Meredith. Meredith Goldstein is the Love Letters columnist for the Boston Globe. She joins us every now and then to help us sort out our platonic and romantic lives. Meredith, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And Irene Levine, professor of psychiatry at the NYU School of Medicine and author of Best Friends Forever, Surviving a Breakup with Your Best Friend. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
And listeners, there's more information on breaking up with your BFF at our website, radioboston.org.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Anthony Brooks.
He's my radio BFF, Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again on Monday. Happy weekend, everyone.
Yeah.
For more Radio Boston.